Sounds like we're in a club with the music in the background, but we're not. We are in a railway arch. This is the Monkey Gras Conference, and it's break time. One of those rare moments when I have the ability to grab a speaker and squeeze their brain and try to understand more. Claire, what's your Twitter name?
Claire Giordano. All one word on Twitter.
And what do you do?
I work in tech, and I've had a bunch of different roles, but most recently I'm on the product side of things, so product management and product marketing.
And what did you talk about?
I talked about how the packaging of information, ideas, and stories, how it's changing and what that means for all of us. And I tried to look at that question from the angle of production as well as distribution and then access, right? The timing of access, the convenience of access, the speed of access for people who are consuming these stories.
So give me a personal take on this.
Well, so in the talk, I went through three different stories. And the first was I started with when I was 13 years old and needed to get books to read during the summer. And I read a lot of books and I loved to read, which meant I was inspired to walk down this really steep hill for a mile and a half in the hot, humid weather of New Hampshire and, go into the library and find some stuff to read every week. And at the time, I thought that was just the normal process, and I didn't see anything wrong with it. But compared to my experience today, it was inefficient, and it was slow, and I didn't have those personalized recommendations of, people who read that book also read this book. So it wasn't the same experience I've got today, and my experience today is so much better, and I went through a whole bunch of reasons as to why.
Being an academic... dealing mainly with facts and science. And where does serendipity play into this?
Oh, well, I told a different story about this amazing tweet storm that a designer at Medium named Marcin Vicari, I'm not sure if I pronounced his name correctly or not, but he published it a couple months back. He was on vacation near the Pyrenees, and he discovered something. And he told that story on Twitter, of all places. And Twitter turned out to be a really interesting place to tell the story, because just like in his experience, he didn't know what was around the corner. He didn't know what he was going to find. Those of us who read the story on Twitter, we didn't know what came next either. And he told it with a combination of words and some incredible photographs that he took.
Is this the guy that discovered the typewriter music?
Yes. He discovered this typewriter museum, and it turns out he has a passion for and an interest in keyboards anyway, and he had no idea what to expect. He thought it was going to be some small regional museum with maybe some technology in it.
And I remember when this happened, because he really knew his stuff, and it was almost like he was the curator of the museum, discovering a new gem every second.
Well, and when he got to the third floor, apparently it was full of like 500 typewriters, and these are really old, from 1800 and something, and they were bar locks, and they didn't have shift keyboards, and there was even a typewriter that enabled you to type musical notes. So somebody described to me that reading that tweet thread was kind of like having a front row seat to somebody else's dream. And
isn't this similar to the craze for live streaming, though, as the camera fires up and we wander into a riot or a protest? You never know what is going to happen. And people were finding that, I can't watch a video longer than 2 minutes. I don't have time for that. But people are watching videos for 40 minutes, because it is this fly on the wall of the average non-curated moment, because this is a human being, not a TV production company, doing this.
The fact that it's kind of a real person's depiction of their experience makes it seem more natural. You're right. It doesn't seem as produced, if you will, as polished. But I was trying to figure out if it was a magical story because of the way he told it, or because of the way it was packaged and the way it had this slow reveal, right? This kind of lyrical, serialized format. I don't know what the answer is.
The interactivity plays hugely into this as well, though.
There were a lot of comments from people in the community and a lot of interest. And, I went and introduced myself to him, and other people have as well. So my talk was about how these new ways of packaging these new platforms. I also told some stories about The Economist now publishes on Snapchat Discover on the weekends, and what that means and why they're doing it. But in this, in the end, as I summarized all these benefits that we consumers are getting from these new ways of telling stories, I also posed the question of, but have we opened a Pandora's box, right? There's now that much more information for people to consume, that many more things fighting, competing for attention. And so how are people going to focus? How are they going to make their decisions about what to pay attention to? How are they going to still think and think deeply?
It's interesting because on a psychological level, it's argued that, women can focus on 7 ± 2 things in a particular instance and men slightly less. That's why it's easier to hypnotize men. And for me, I see the screen in some ways because I enjoy nature hugely and yet I'm immersed in technology. The screen is a massive filter because it can only deliver so much information, but it is the window to almost infinite information. Have we forgotten how to view physical space in the same way? Where is the context when we don't actually understand what a leaf is without, because we're not taught these things, there's an app to tell us what a leaf is. How do we understand what the weather is actually called or doing right now, which we used to do when we rely on an app telling us this? So fascinating. And I do think we control the narrative in some way as well.
I think the moral of that story is to get outside, right?
Yeah, and
in fact, my family, we go backpacking every summer, and what's amazing is sometimes we're backpacking in places where we still have cell signal, and sometimes we're in places where there's none. And it's almost more fun when there's none, for a couple days at least, to be completely off the grid.
Oh, lovely stuff. Your fascination with language must be kind of spiking somewhat with current affairs right now, with new terms such as alternative truth, is it alternative truth?
Alternative facts.
Alternative facts and fake news. How do you feel about all of this right now, especially being an American?
I think it's a big topic of conversation among everybody I know. And it's gotten to the point where some people just can't talk politics anymore because either they disagree or they agree, but they build their emotions kind of get the better of them and they build on top of each other. So it's absolutely...
Like you've had some bridges burnt. I mean,
no.
I know having my family with Brexit, it's quite amazing how diversified so many people have become.
You know, I was in Europe last summer when Brexit surprised people and when it passed. And it was kind of, for somebody from the United States, it was really interesting to be in Europe at the time. First I was in Switzerland and then I was in Italy. And just hearing my friends who live there talk about it. And for them, it was very close to home, right? Whereas in the United States, it felt like this very far away decision.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting what's happening with science and academia at the moment. I've just seen news break at the moment on Reuters that scientists are now going rogue. They are ignoring your smile, your big smile when I say that. Giving away your feelings.
Scientists don't go rogue. What do you mean?
they're deciding that the gag orders are not going to work. And I believe research is being dished out free of charge, which probably should have been doing a long time ago.
You know, I'm not a historian, but I have to question whether gag orders ever work in the long run. They might have a short-term effect, but in the long run, information gets out.
In a world with things like WikiLeaks, I must add, it is down to us to look to the journalists, the decent, honest, law-abiding journalists who are the moral compass for many of us, because we don't know what is fact or fiction when these things are leaked, but in the world of WikiLeaks, where it is possible to get access to almost anything now because people realize there's a very small step to making it super public, how is it going to work, a gag order?
That is a rich and complicated question that I'm going to duck. I'm really, really glad to have been here today, though, and I'm so glad that you're having the chance to go around and
capture conversations. Totally. And is this your first Monkey Gras?
It is my first Monkey Gras. I went to Monktoberfest last year in Portland, Maine, also hosted by Red Monk, but it is my first time to Shoreditch, and I'm just thrilled to be here. And the speakers, it's been quite a mix of different topics, considering packaging in all sorts of different areas. So James, I think, set up a particularly good theme that's enabling people to be creative. And
what's your main takeaway from today so far?
My main takeaway from today
Just to put you on the spot.
Yeah, that is a really good question. I think that the developers I've met so far today are super smart, and it's interesting to hear them talk about some of the challenges they have in their work. And, you know, the great coffee and the great beer that we've been provided out on the side definitely make it conducive to have some interesting conversations. So I think the Red Monk team has built this incredible community of people who are passionate about what they do and sharing it with each other, and I'm just glad to be part of this.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And mentioning the coffee, I see all the minds in this room here as seeds being stimulated by said coffee and beer for growth, and there's definitely a lot of growth going on. Colette, thank you so much for the conversation.
Good to meet you, Christian. Thank you.